FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today it's May 1st, 2018. Well, person you're about to hear from, been on the show a number of times, written a new book entitled The Trump White House Changing the Rules of the Game. First, though, as always, be part of the discussion. Join us in the dialogue. We love to get your emails. See them first thing in the inbox in the morning. And that email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. So the person you're about to hear from, Ron Kessler. Ron, you've written so many books, and the president's secret service, the CIA at war. I mean, I could just go on and on. My favorite one to date was The First Family Detail, but this could be your best book ever. So thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So obviously you can't go wrong writing a book about the president and about what he's doing, because that's all anybody seems to think about now. But you had to make yours different, didn't you?
Well, I would say I had to make my book truthful. There's actually no other book out there that is favorable to Donald Trump. The book is unique. At the same time, it's credible. It goes into the warts, the problems, titillating details. I've known Trump for two decades. I first went down in Mar-a-Lago with him on his plane with my wife, Pam. We're both former Washington Post reporters. And on the way down, he imitated the nasal constricted tones of the blue blood old guard in Palm Beach, condemning his club, Mar-a-Lago, because it admits blacks and Jews. And to this day, some clubs in Palm Beach do not admit blacks and Jews. And he said, I want to be loved, and I enjoy sticking it to them. And that pretty much sums up Donald Trump. He wants to be loved, and he enjoys sticking it to anybody who gets in his way. But he uses the carrot and the stick. For example, with his club, the town fathers, many of whom belong to those clubs that discriminate, did not want to approve it as a club. And what did he do? He, on the one hand, sued the town for $50 million. His Florida lawyer, Paul Rampell, who's Jewish, sent those town council members copies of Gentleman's Agreement and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, both about bigotry, implying that they were bigots. But at the same time, Trump invited those very same people to play golf with him, to play tennis with him. He invited them to parties in Mar-a-Lago, saying there would be gorgeous young women there. And eventually, of course, he got Mar-a-Lago approved. And that is the way he operates, the carrot and the stick, threatening, but also offering access or deals. The other insightful interview I had was with Norma Forderer, who was his top aide for 26 years. When she joined the organization, there were only seven other employees, and she really knew him better than any individual on both the business and the social side. And she said there are two Donald Trumps. One is the one you see on TV, who makes these often outrageous comments to get attention for his real estate brand and now for his presidency. When he started in real estate, there was no such thing as a real estate brand. There were buildings owned by these companies that no one had ever heard of. But he turned the Trump name into a symbol of luxury prestige. And he's doing the same with his presidency by attracting media attention every day, which enhances his power. And then there's the other Donald Trump, Norma said, that only insiders know, who is exactly the opposite. He is thoughtful. He listens. He's not full of bravado. He's very deliberative when he makes decisions. That's how he built this empire worth billions of dollars, not by being an idiot, a fool, or a bigot. I think every supporter of Trump gulps from time to time when he makes some of these outrageous comments. But it's a way to make foreign countries gravitate to him or afraid of him. The same with CEOs. And if you look at the results, they're pretty amazing. On the one hand, with the economy, you have an unprecedented low unemployment rate, unprecedented low black unemployment rate, tax cuts putting more money in people's pockets, a roaring stock market since the election. And then on the foreign side, you have almost totally getting rid of ISIS, getting Saudi Arabia to go after radical Islamic ideology. He's about to meet with the North Korean leader. The Chinese have just agreed to reduce tariffs on auto imports. Any one of those is an amazing achievement. And all of this in his first 16 months.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, you get into a story there that I've always wondered about, but have never been able to figure out because nobody's ever gotten that deep into the weeds about his early life. And that is, he went to military academy. So generally when somebody well off, a kid is sent to military academy, it's because he's got behavioral issues. And you managed to uncover the secret of how he wound up in military school.
His father felt he was out of control. It wasn't that he was breaking the law, but he would get into fights with kids. He would also go into Manhattan and do things that his father didn't approve of. Looking back in The Art of the Deal, Trump wrote that he liked to test people. He didn't know why, but that's what he like to do. And you see that, of course, now in his personality. But he did straighten up in military school. He went to Wharton, and he turned into a success, as we see. But he doesn't like people to really know the inner Donald Trump. He wants to project this tough guy image, which he feels is a way to enhance his power. And so, for example, he will give out $100 tips to janitors moving furniture, for example, but he doesn't want that out. And when I interviewed him, I had the only interview he says he has given or will give for a book as president. I asked him about that. Why don't you let that softer side of you out? And he just became sort of defensive. How did you hear that? Where were these tips? He finally admitted that he does do that. He also doesn't like to let out the fact that Melania is a tremendous influence. The same thing. He's just very guarded. And so in this book, I reveal that she will actually sit in on meetings, summarize the points that others have made, and come up with her own strategy. I quote Reince Priebus saying that her judgment is just impeccable. Age is so impressed by her political savvy. She will also give him articles, both pro and con. She's not afraid to disagree with him either. For example, at Mar-a-Lago one day, Martha Stewart showed up, and Donald's butler, Tony Seneca, answered the door. And Martha said, could I take it to her Mar-a-Lago? And he said, sure, why don't we set up for 3 o'clock tomorrow? Tony told Donald, he said, fine. But later in the day, Tony went to check to see if Trump needs anything in the private quarters. And Trump started screaming at him, you dumbass, you should have scheduled it for noon tomorrow when the club members would be here and they would see Martha and Martha would see them. At that moment, Melania walked in and she said to Tony, or she said to Trump, I don't think you should be talking to Tony in that tone. Nothing more was said, but the next morning, Tony and Trump were in the living room of Mar-a-Lago. Trump handed Tony $2,000 in $20 bills, would you believe? Didn't say anything, but that was his apology. And I said to Tony, wasn't that strange, $20 bills? And Tony said, everything about Mr. Trump is strange.
Yeah, that's a great story. Well, one thing that's strange, when you look back at our last three presidents, we had Clinton, who supposedly didn't inhale. We had Bush, who didn't do cocaine. And then we had Obama, who did inhale and did do cocaine. Trump has seemed to like lead this life of never imbibing in potentially destructive substances, never had a drink in his life. How did that happen?
I think it speaks to his discipline because, you know, it takes a lot of discipline to not have a drink, especially since he's around people drinking all the time at Mar-a-Lago and elsewhere. But in the same vein, he only sleeps four nights a week. I mean, 4 hours a night. Mm-hmm. He just wants to work. He wants to accomplish things. He wants results. And he feels that drinking would get in the way. Of course, in addition, his brother had an alcohol problem, and he cited that as a reason he doesn't drink. But I think it's even more that he's so devoted to his work. When he goes to Mar-a-Lago, for example, aside from playing golf, he's always working. He never follows his bikini-clad wife, Melania, to the pool, never swims. He's always working.
Mm. Yeah, so I was going to ask you about that. So in that time, so he's awake roughly 18 to 20 hours per day. Is he working constantly there? What is he doing?
He works constantly either at Mar-a-Lago or the White House or on Air Force One. Just enjoys it. And Melania is happy with it. She never wants to interfere with that. Whereas Marla Maples, his second wife, resented him playing golf, didn't even want Mar-a-Lago to be a club. She wanted the estate all for herself. She did come up with the idea of having a Trump spa there, which he built. Mm-hmm. But that's the contrast between Melania and Marla.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So he's a very competitive person. So in taking on the role as president, who do you think his internal competitor is, the person who he's there to outdo, the former president?
As far as former presidents go, you know, it's anybody who came before him almost. I guess he would cite one or two people from way back as good presidents, but it's all about orchestrating a scenario that portrays him as the number one success. And so he'll use anything, a former president, a senator who gets in the way, as a jumping off point to highlight his own successes. And it's working. You know, a lot of it is psychological. For example, on the one hand, he's deregulating, but he also is making it clear that he's not a foe of business. He's not going to demonize business the way Obama did. And that sends a psychological message to businesses that they can expand without fear of additional regulation and hire more workers. It also sends a message to the stock market. A lot of this is just cheerleading for America and as opposed to apologizing for America, which is what Obama did.
So, you know, you hear all these psychologists, psychiatrists making statements about him, which isn't really fair. But is there a narcissistic streak in him, or is it just all about business, putting his name all over and, you know, basically tooting his own horn? Obviously, the media is not doing it. The press isn't doing it. Is it just to get noticed, or is it deeper than that?
Well, he certainly has a narcissistic streak, but it is all part of a strategy. And if he touts his achievements, people will start to listen. And you know, he's very entertaining, the way he was on The Apprentice. That's another aspect that has helped his success. But number one, the subtitles of the book, Changing the Rules of the Game, you know, sums up what he's doing. He's not afraid, for example, to go after Colin Kaepernick over his refusal to stand for the national anthem. That I think strikes a chord in a wide range of American hearts. When it comes to North Korea, he was mocked for making it clear that he's going to annihilate North Korea if it doesn't get rid of its nuclear weapons. The mainstream media thought he was a fool, and look what's happening. Obviously, they are serious now. Over and over again, this strategy is working. Sending Syria missiles into Syria made it clear that we're not going to be messed with by other countries. Totally the opposite of Obama. And it's so, you know, it's just common sense. If you lead from strength, you're going to get results. And yet, a wide range of people in this country simply will not or do not accept that.
Yeah, it's absurd. So you spent a lot of time with him. What about his sense of humor? You know, in the brief couple of hours I spent with him, I found him to be one of the funniest people I ever met. Yet his sense of humor seems to be lost on the majority of people.
Yeah, he has a genuine sense of humor, unlike what we saw at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I asked him shortly after he was elected, how do you like being protected by the Secret Service? We were overlooking the pool at Mar-a-Lago, and he said, it's great. I'll go golfing, and there'll be 20 agents all around me, and they're all looking in different directions so they don't see if I miss a ball, if I miss a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, in a way, he appears to have been preparing for this role of president for his entire life. Where do you think the aspirations to become president began? When in his life?
I think, you know, he just genuinely is a patriot and genuinely wants to help this country. And it's that simple. You know, it's not that he needs the glamour and glory of the White House. He already has a more magnificent winter White House in Mar-a-Lago. Just as one symbol of his patriotism, he erected an American flag on the front lawn of Mar-a-Lago, and the town said it exceeds zoning regulations. It's too high, and they started fining him on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what did he do? He agreed to reduce the length of the flagpole, but he moved it to a mound that his workers erected on the property that made it just as high as it was to begin with. And then he donated the money he would pay in fines, $100,000, to various VA organizations. That is really Donald Trump. He's and of course he wants to succeed. He wants to win. He wants to show that he can do the job, and I think that's what he's doing.
Hey, so he's got more enemies probably than any other president in history. I mean, there's no favorable media coverage of him, maybe Fox a little bit, but pretty much any favorable media coverages are outliers. He's got the deep state after him. He's got all these Obama Clinton holdouts after him. And yet he soldiers on. He's indefatigable. His whole persona is one of perseverance and never quitting. Have we ever had a president like that before?
No, I think the attacks just energize him, and you know, previous presidents have been very cautious and diplomatic, and you know, afraid to make statements that create a lot of hatred. But it is part of a strategy. I have a chapter in the book titled Scam Artists, and that refers to the dishonest media. It's not just bias, it's real dishonesty. And as one example, the New York Times ran a story above the fold with the headline, this model, Rowan Brewer Lane, had just met Donald Trump when he asked her to change out of her clothes. And the story was headlined, Crossing the Line with Women, Donald Trump. Well, and then the story, you know, claimed there was a demeaning encounter. And the real story was just the opposite, because she started going out with him after that. She had been invited at the last minute to a pool party at Mar-a-Lago, and she didn't have time to go back home to get a bathing suit. She went to Mar-a-Lago. Donald took a liking to her, showed her around the estate, asked if she wanted a bathing suit, and she said, sure. She put it on in a bathroom. She came out to the pool to see Donald, and they started going out together for the next several months. Where did that appear? The fact that they started going out in the 16th paragraph of the story. If that had been a lead, they could not have run the story because it would have been exposed as a fraud. That's how dishonest the media had become.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Hard to believe that that it could devolve to this point. But obviously, he's really become a threat to the deep state, to the shadow government. He aims to clean it out. He always said, drain the swamp. I always viewed it as dredging the swamp and then dumping the refuse someplace where it can't hurt anything. But he's really determined to drain the swamp here and return power back to the rightful holders, the American people, isn't he?
That's right. Exactly. And my favorite anecdote about that is a couple in Potomac rather than Maryland said that they will not take any vacations because they don't want to contribute to the Trump economy. That's how bad it's gotten. That's how crazy it's gotten. Yeah. It's, it's just hysteria. I think, part of it is people just have this lemming instinct. They can't think for themselves. I mean, certainly others legitimately, believe in socialism and don't understand capitalism or don't accept capitalism. And the media, of course, spurs all this on. The whole Russia collusion business is, of course, a hoax. And I demonstrate that in the book because there was actually a Washington Post story last August 14th, which quoted emails sent by or turned over by the White House to congressional committees. And these were sent among the campaign aides, including Manafort. Papadopoulos, this low-level aide, was proposing that the campaign meet with Russian leadership. Mm-hmm. And in the emails, Manafort wrote back, no, we're not going to do this. Absolutely not. He actually signed another aide to make sure that nobody responds to any requests like this. He also said, we have to make sure Trump doesn't do any of this. Gates, his deputy, said mm-hmm. the same thing in the emails. That story did appear in the Washington Post, but it's been totally ignored. The headline was the opposite of the truth. It said Papadopoulos or Trump aide wanted to meet with Russians. No, the real story was no, the campaign did not want to meet with Russians. So what more do you need to know about Russian collusion than that?
Yeah, well, we find out subsequently that Carter Page apparently was an FBI agent or asset, and all of these people appear to be plants. So you got to wonder what the whole narrative has turned into, because it's certainly not aimed at getting at the truth. That's for sure. So next 2.5 years, what do you think is going to happen during the Trump presidency?
As Trump keeps saying, we're just getting started. That's what he said when I interviewed him at Mar-a-Lago. It really is just the beginning. And you're just seeing the successes fall like dominoes. Foreign countries are going to start cooperating more. I think we are going to get a new deal with Iran. It's all because of American strength, leading from strength, just like Ronald Reagan. Reagan built up the American military. He wasn't afraid to call Russia, the Soviet Union, the evil empire. And he was mocked for that by the press, of course. And the press called him stupid and a fool and a danger, exactly the same as Trump. And yet, what did he do? He got rid of the Soviet Union. And he bolstered the economy big time. Same situation. And now, when people look back in the Gallup polls, he's actually listed as one of the top and greatest presidents in American history. And I think you're going to start seeing that with Trump as well.
Well, I only hope you're correct. From your mouth to God's keyboard, Ron. Hey, we're talking about the book here, The Trump White House, Changing the Rules of the Game by Ron Kessler. And to find out more, just go to ronaldkessler.com. The book's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books used to be sold. Ron, it's great having you back on the show. Good luck with the book, and thanks for trying to give a balanced view. It's really appreciated.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.